This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Molecule, the world's first molecular air purifier that reduces symptoms for allergies and asthma sufferers. For $75 off your first order, $75 off your first order. Go to MOLEKULE.com, Molecule.com, and enter the promo code TMS. And by 1Password. 1Password is a password manager that helps you be safe online by securing your usernames and passwords behind a single master password that only you know. I use 1Password every day and I love it, and you will too. TMS listeners can sign up and get a 3-month free trial at 1Password.com/TMS and start being safer online today. Coming up on TMS, I'd buy that friendship for a dollar.
Vegas likes to start early.
Hey, Doc, does this look weird to you?
Lamber Stitch Slumber Crutch saves someone.
A gun, a machete, and a guitar walk into a bar.
Major spoilers.
Trek Nerd and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
You can sit on your couch, pull up your phone, and if you want to, just be like, I want bananas, and I want hammers, and I want an eagle's beak. And then Amazon's like, it's on your f***ing doorstep. How about that?
I'm not crying, fool. Me crying? No way.
The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It is the Morning Stream for Monday, June 4th, 2018. Hey, a month away from July 4th, Independence Day.
Oh, no kidding. Look at that.
We threw the shackles off the British buttholes and moved forward.
and declared our independence from people who talked like this.
Yes, it was a long time coming, and we are happy to do it. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hi-o.
Hey, good morning. How was your weekend? I didn't see you this weekend, which is weird because we usually talk over the weekend.
Right. Usually we do a film sack and you know, even chat via text, stuff like that. No.
I guess we talked a little yesterday, but most of the weekend it was like Friday happened. We did PMS PM, and then that umbilical cord known as the Brian Scott connection cut. And it just sat there languishing like loose, flaccid flesh until today when it was brought back together. Right in the middle.
Joing, and it, like it healed itself like so many science fiction movies where things heal themselves by like growing new flesh and muscle and bone and all that
stuff. Yeah, the one time I did tap you. The kids mean something different today when they say that, don't they?
We don't use that term.
Yeah, they're not talking about beer. They're not talking about like a new mine full of gold. They're not tapping a new well of oil.
Right.
It's a very different thing.
No, usually they say, I'd tap that.
I'd tap that. Which usually means the girl would never tap you back, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Anyway.
Right, exactly.
Douchebags aside, so I was, I texted Brian. This is the only conversation we really did have. I ended up seeing I, Tonya.
Yeah.
Which I like to spell with a little I and then big T, all one word. Brian was quick to remind me that it's I, comma, Tonya.
That's right. Like it's something that Tim Cook is announcing. We've got a new product to announce. Like he's going to be doing tomorrow. The new I, Tonya product.
It is tomorrow. It's not today. I was thinking it was today.
Yeah.
It's not today, right?
It's
not
today. Well, I think it's tomorrow. I thought it was tomorrow. Maybe it is today because it is. This is the first day of WWDC, isn't it?
WWDC.
Maybe
it's today. Let's find out. There's a bunch of Android people groaning right now, but I don't care. it's today. It's Monday. Here it is.
Today. It'll actually, right about the time we finish, Apple will start talking about their thing.
Yeah. So anyway, the point is that I saw this I, Tonya deal, this movie that came out last year that was critically acclaimed. And I'm not going to lie. When I was approaching that thing from the other direction, I went, oh, really? This like Tonya Harding biopic thing, this isn't going to be my bag. I can just tell right now, not interested. It's going to be weird and lame, and I had no interest in it. Then Brian sees it, or I guess it got a bunch of Oscar nods and Golden Globe stuff, and then you saw it, and then you were like, oh, it's really good. You should see it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, well, all right, maybe it's better than I think, but then I kind of forgot. Shows up on Hulu. Yesterday I had a bunch of art to do for card stuff, and I thought, well, let's have that on while I draw.
Sure.
And then I got so wrapped up in it that I made it full screen and quit drawing. That's how much I liked it. I think that movie's great. I think it's really, 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 really good. Yeah.
And Allison Janney really should just get, you know, somebody needs to make a big bronze Allison Janney and put it in Town Square, the center of Town Square, and we will all bow to the big bronze Allison Janney.
Yep. They need to bring West Wing back, make her the president this time. We're all set to go. I love her. She's amazing in it. Oh my gosh, what a wicked, wacky, weird woman that was.
Oh, totally.
But it's like, so people yesterday was asking me, what's it like? I would compare this to The Big Short very specifically, because The Big Short has moments in it where it decides to sort of break fourth wall and talk to the audience. And it's really effective.
Even has Margot Robbie.
And even has Margot Robbie doing that very thing in a bathtub, right?
Right, exactly.
Yes. And they do that in this, but not to excess. It's perfect. The music's perfect. The acting's impeccable. Winter Soldier's real good. It's great.
Didn't even realize that was Sebastian Stan until the end. I'm like, oh my God, that was Winter Soldier. Didn't recognize him with both arms.
Winter Soldier versus... what's her name?
Harley Quinn. Harley Quinn. Good point.
Yep. Little Marvel DC crossover there for you, folks.
Interesting. Yeah.
But I loved every second of it. And I'll tell you what, anytime that big guy, this is no spoiler because I think people should see it and I don't want to spoil it, but the big guy who acted like he was Mr. Conspiracy.
Oh, yeah. What's his face?
I don't know the actor's
Glooley,
name.
Jeff Glooley.
No, the other guy. His
friend. No, I'm sorry. Jeff Glooley was Sebastian Stan. Yes, yeah. His bodyguard, quote unquote bodyguard.
I think his name was like, I don't remember his name. But anyway, that guy who lives with his mom but claimed to be like this genius super spy. Every right. time he talked, I got very uncomfortable because I know people like that. Mm-hmm. And they freak me out, man. These weird...
Sean Eckert.
Yeah, Sean, that's it. Yeah. These weird stay at home but pretend to be something more than they are kind of guys. They give me the willies. He was really effective in that role. So anyway, big endorsement. See, I, Tonya, it's on Hulu. Not for the kids. Lots of swearing and stuff. Although there's not a lot of doing it, you know. So if you're worried about that, you're okay. But if you got a language thing going on, you probably want to.
It's mostly language and a little bit of violence, of course, is to be expected if you know anything about the story of Tonya Harding and
Galooly.
Nancy Kerrigan. Yeah. But I will say, you know, I was really amazed coming out of it how they really successfully turned Tonya into a sympathetic character. And during that whole thing, I remember, you know, she seemed like just as much reviled as Jeff Galooly and Sean Eckhart, even though, you know, even came out then that she really wasn't behind it as much as it was him kind of taking it on and saying, I'm going to do this for you, Tonya, because I love you.
Yeah. And then involving the worst possible friend to help you. My gosh.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. It's something else. It's worth seeing, especially if you grew up then or have a memory of the actual events of that, which we, you know, you and I were in our teens and inching toward 20 when this, you know, when this was going on. So, and it was interesting. There was a scene in toward the end of it where the news cycle, you watch it change from, the news people are the press are leaving the driveway of Jeff Galooly, and on TV is this whole thing I can't even his name all of a sudden. What's wrong with me? He's murdered his wife and the guy.
Oh, O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson getting in the car, getting taken away before the thing.
I forgot that overlapped. Yeah,
and it was a great sense. It was that really great sense of like, oh yeah, this is how we do it. The big thing that we're all focused on because it's a big national freak out. Shifts to another national freakout. Like the whole thing is the movie itself is a really good indictment of just how shitty we are when it comes to like over focusing on stories like, I don't know, like Roseanne Barr's show getting canceled. Maybe there's a good example.
The sensationalism of the news for sure.
Right. Yeah. So the best part though for me is throughout the music is so good. They have the best song usage in this movie, like stuff from the 70s and 80s that is just perfect. So, right. I was really into it.
Doesn't it feel like too like if you have a biopic done of you, and you get Margot Robbie to play you, it's like somebody saying, "Hey, we're gonna make the Brian Abbott Coverville biopic."
Yeah.
And we're getting Hemsworth to play Brian Abbott.
Oh, I love it. Which one though? The ugly one that's on Westworld or the good looking Hemsworth?
Any of the three are still an improvement.
Okay. All right. Even Otis or whatever his name is, even the third
Otis,
one.
Otis Hemsworth, right?
Okay.
Cletus Hemsworth.
Sure. That sounds great. Well, anyway, go see it. I don't know why I'm so surprised by it, but I was taken aback. Man, Margot Robbie, she's a freaking powerhouse. She is so much more than just, oh, look at the pretty new girl from Australia, you guys.
Mm-mm. Right. Oh, yeah. No, and she learned all that, you know, ice skating stuff herself. I mean, I'm sure there's, for some of the more extensive triple toe axle LUTs, whatever,
Triple toe axle LUTs was my favorite character in
Fargo.
Fargo. I couldn't think of another name. I was actually trying to think of Axel Foley from Beverly Hills Cop. I can't think of names today. Today's a no-name day, guys. I'm warning you now. Can't
great.
Think of names.
Just expect a lot of Flumberbatch McGillicuddies today.
Yep.
There's going to be a lot of that.
Open your hearts and your minds because it's coming. All right. I heard something yesterday that gave me pause, and I wanted to tell you about it. And no, everybody, okay. It's not the tweet I put out about how when my dog farted, it sounded like someone snapped their fingers. It's not that. But that did happen. The dog farted and it sounded like this. Wait. Like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And she looked at me like, what? I'm like, dude, you farted like a finger snapping. But that wasn't it. I heard a little kid, he was 4 years old, tell another little kid when they didn't think any adults were watching that he could be his friend, but he had to give him a dollar first. I was so annoyed. But then also, you know,
it's a future lobbyist right there.
But I was also reminded that, you know, this is what people do, and they sometimes do this as adults, and this is where it starts, and this is human nature, and you kind of people sort of get what they want to get out of whatever they get. But I felt so bad for this other kid because he just was like, I don't have a dollar. That's a lot of money.
Did you lean down to the kid and said, I'll be your friend for free?
I said, I'll be your friend for free. And there are other adults around. I'm not some weird old guy talking to 2 4-year-olds.
If they only heard your part of the conversation, I think that's, yeah.
I'll be your friend for a dollar. I'll do it for free, kid. It wasn't like that. It wasn't like that. But it was sad. It made me sad. You know? You should be friends anyway. Don't need a dollar for that. Or you know what? Kid who wants the dollar, he's not worth it. Kid who was asked for the dollar, go find a friend who doesn't need a dollar to have your friendship. Because I guarantee you this, you're not going to get more than a day out of that. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, right. And what happens next month? You know, if you want to be really good friends, it'll be $2. If you want me to protect you from... It's really going to be like the shakedown of the convenience store from the... from the gangs, you know, or something.
Sure.
Later on.
And I don't want that for that kid. So go find better friends. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Exactly. Got a quick shout out to from Bambi Godfrey. That's a great name. Bambi Godfrey. Her husband, Jackson Godfrey. Also a great name. He should be a rock and roll guy.
Totally should be a rock and roll guy.
Yeah.
Like that guy, if you name your child Jackson Godfrey, guitars, electric guitars will like float to him. Like he'll stand in the middle of Guitar Center and all the guitars will rip off the walls and immediately form a pile right in front of him.
Oh, I love that. Like Harry Potter style, he's just controlling all the guitars.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
Well, she sent this in, and I thought it was super sweet, so I wanted to read it. It says, my husband, Jackson Godfrey, has been a listener for a while now. He recently got me into the show. His birthday is Saturday, May 26th, so it's a little older, but it's okay. Never, you know, a minute late, a dollar shorter, however the old phrase
is. That's right, yes. He still had the birthday, so we can still celebrate it.
Yeah, either way, you aged, so well done.
Right, exactly.
He says, or she says rather, I was hoping maybe you guys could wish him a happy birthday. He listens to your show every day at work, and I think he would get a kick out of it. We love all your work besides the podcast. My personal favorite was watching you play the newest Resident Evil game. Thanks so much for all your content, Bambi. Well, first of all, apologies for never finishing the Resident Evil game. It's just too damn scary for me. I'm a puss. I am. I'm a puss. That was Brian playing the smallest crying baby.
Yes, a little tiny one.
A little bitty one. But then also, congratulations. And Jackson, we hope you have a great birthday today. I just thought you were right. Anytime a wife does a nice thing like that, I can't resist that. What am I going to do? Just throw that email away? And just archive it and say, type back and say, F no? Of course not. We read them.
Of course.
That's what we do.
Happy birthday.
Brian?
Yes, sir.
A quick check-in on how Mr. Biker Man's doing.
That's right. Well, since we didn't do a film sack Saturday morning, by golly, that's what I did. I got on the bike and did 32 miles, 31.5, but come on, let's, you know, round it up.
That's good.
31.5 miles on the bike Saturday morning. I feel like don't get me wrong, I'm still going to be riding every day until the event on the 23rd. Oh my God.
Yeah.
But I feel like at this point, I'm ready to do the full shebang, because I did that 32 miles without big stops, right? Like, I'd have to stop at a street and wait for the time to cross.
Right.
I'd have to, you know, I'd stop and just drink water for a second, but that's it. Apparently, before we even get to the first 45-mile lunch stop during this ride, there are three other 5-minute, 10-minute stops that you'll make to have your bike looked at and refill your thing with Gatorade and stuff like that. So I'm so ready for this. I'm sure it's gonna wipe me out. I'm gonna be jelly legs Saturday night.
Yeah, guaranteed.
But
it's gonna be great though. So let me ask you this: Is it about winning this race? Personally. But I mean, like, is that the goal of the race as a whole, though? Is there going to be somebody who wins this and it's like, oh, I got first place? Or is this just, we're all in a big, long thing?
There are people who are definitely seeing this as competition.
Okay.
And I'd say it's like 10% that and 90% just raising money for MS.
Right.
Which is good. You know, that's what it should be.
That's the right ratio.
And don't forget, like, after I talk about this, then we need to talk about your Heroes of the Storm thing this weekend too. Guys raised some amazing money.
Yeah, we made broke our previous record and hit our goal, which made us very happy. But I'm very excited about this because you're doing a thing that I'm not sure I'm at a place right now I could do mentally or physically. Like, I don't know if I could do this bike thing. So watching you do it is inspiring. Because I got, by the way, for Father's Day, they got a little bit of earlier, I got an early Father's Day present. The kids took my bike, which has got major issues. I haven't tuned it up in years. It's an awesome dirt bike that I, not dirt bike, mountain bike.
Mountain
thank
bike?
You. Yeah. Words again. Words are hard today.
Was it a Huffy?
It was a Schwinn. Yeah. No, it's actually, what is the brand? I think it's either Giant brand or some other brand. Anyway, some good brand. I bought it years ago for bunch of money, and then I didn't use it as much as I wanted to, and a neighbor borrowed it once, and they bent a thing I had to replace, and anyway, long and the short of it is, they were like, let's get Dad's bike all fixed up so he has it for the summer. So they took it to this place, had it completely redone, new tires, new, I think they replaced a couple of gears and stuff, because it got all banged up from the last time someone borrowed it from me. So I got this fresh new bike, we're all ready to go, and I rode it the other day, and first, a little uphill thing I took, I went, oh, yeah, right. This is hard. Like, right. This isn't easy if you haven't done this for a long time. Like, you get seriously winded. Like, I'm starting to see a tunnel. I should go toward the light kind of winded. Like, oh, my gosh, this is so hard. So nothing but respect and admiration for you going for this, because I don't know how you're doing it. It's fantastic.
It's, you know, there's still rides. There's still hills on the elevation ride. So if I go west, I do an elevation ride, and it's about 9 miles all the way around the reservoir. If I go east, then it's more like distance, because I can go 32 miles. I could even go straight down to Denver from here, and that'd probably be like a, I don't know, like a 50-mile ride, 60-mile ride or something.
Right. Well, that's awesome.
But less elevation. But man, when I'm doing those elevation rides, if I go west, holy cow, there's still hills on there that it's like, I took this little Yi action camera right here, which is like a GoPro, but I've got a little mount for it on my bike. Mm-hmm. Took it with me on the last elevation ride I did over the weekend, and it's got some great footage. I can't wait to, like, you know, edit it together with a cool song and throw it on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
But I hear my breathing while I'm going up a couple of the hills, and I sound like someone should have a defibrillator handy. Like, you know, give me 20 cc's of adrenaline stat and stab it right into his sternum.
Yeah, put it right in. It's like you just ate one of those green balls in that movie, whose name I can't think of because I can't do names today.
The Rock?
The Rock! Oh my gosh, dude. Seriously, I can't do names. Names are going to escape me. It's just the way it is.
You were going to bring up, like, like Eric Stoltz jabbing an adrenaline needle with Rosanna Arquette into my sternum, like in Pulp Fiction.
But I like this one too. Totally forgot he did that. That was him.
Just draw a little marker circle right where you want it to go.
Sure. Why not? Anyway, good luck with that. How'd the pickles? You pickled some jalapenos, which sounds great.
Dude, I pickled 3 pounds of jalapenos yesterday. And
burn your eyes while you're doing it, or make it hard to...
Well, that's kind of the thing. Yeah. So like use a couple cups of cider vinegar, and I'm doing a sweeter pickling of them. Like it's a recipe that sounds just amazing. It's kind of a candied pickle jalapeno. Ooh. So it's got a real sweet hot to it, real sweet heat.
Sounds so
I
good.
I tasted some of the syrup. Like, I'm not gonna be able to eat these for 4 weeks. They're in jars on the counter, and they have to stay pick the jar for 4 weeks before we can even get into the first one.
Yeah.
But I tasted some of the syrup because there was like a lot of syrup left over, and they said, oh yeah, put that in another jar, stick it in the fridge and use it all the time. This thing tastes amazing because it's like a really quick, sharp heat. Mm-hmm. That disappears really quick, and then this kind of lingering flavor, jalapeno and sweetness flavor. But
sounds good. I love pickled things, dude. I would totally eat these.
Yeah. Mm. Well, when you're doing that initial boiling the brine mixture, and then you dump the jalapenos into the thing, there's all this steam that rises immediately, and it's a jalapeno vinegar toxic, caustic, acrid acid steam that rises right into your face. I sounded like I did on my action camera, actually, for a second there. Like,
oh, that's no good. Yeah, that'll clear your sinuses for sure. Well, that's great. I want that. It's funny how we live parallel lives. This weekend we had the first they're doing a brand new farmer's market near us, just like right up the road. And they have this stand. There's just nothing but pickled everything.
Oh, yeah.
So I bought pickled asparagus. And I'm going to tell you right now, that sounds weird.
No, it sounds fantastic. Are you kidding me?
They're so good. I'm serious. I almost ate half that jar last night. I love them so much. I love pickled. Pickle everything.
Here's what you need to do, Mr. Half a roast and half a jar of pickled asparagus. You need to figure out how to lock yourself away with smaller portions. Like you need a safe or a panic room where you can put half of the food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're right. You're not wrong. I think my doctor says I'm lucky I have the metabolism I do, because the way I eat, I should be like 450 pounds. But because I have a good metabolism, that's the thing. I lose 10 pounds if I just eat normal. If I just eat normal this week, I'll lose 10 pounds. That's how it'll go. Oh, one final note before we call Dunaway. I almost forgot. This reminds me, because I kind of fell off the wagon a little bit this weekend, but not really. It was for the show. I did this for science.
Uh-huh.
We were at Five Guys Burgers and Fries. I just got the burger. No cheese. They make great burgers. They're great. Love it. Yeah. Anyway, but I went pretty healthy on most of it, except I noticed, they have shakes here.
Okay.
We should see if their shakes hold up or if they're any good. So I got a peanut butter shake, which you can add bacon to for some reason, but I didn't do that.
Oh. To make it Elvis style.
Yeah. So I just got the peanut butter shake, and it's okay. It's fine.
Oh, really?
It's not great. It's not bad. It's just sort of, I don't know where I'd put it. I'd put it in there with, like, what was the one I thought was just kind of average? It's not as good as the Arby's one, but it's better than the other ones I've tried that aren't as good as the Arby's one. Does that make sense?
Totally.
If
the question is how many guys does it take to make a good shake, 5 is not the answer.
No, it takes more or less. I don't know. But let's go.
Guys, spoil the shake.
Here's my ranking. Neither of us have done we haven't done the Sonic thing yet, so we will. But I'm going to say my ranking goes Chick-fil-A, very closely followed by Del Taco for some unknown reason. Del Tacos are good. Then the Arby's one, then that one. That's how I'm doing it. Really? I'm not counting McDonald's or any of that crap. That's
of course,
not even,
of course. Yeah. Although somebody said, you know, well, you gotta, it's ice milk versus ice cream. You gotta do the McDonald's shake again. Mm. At some point after the ride, I'll probably try Sonic and because I hear great things about Sonic.
Yeah. Sonic's supposed to be good.
And there is a Steak and Shake in Denver. It's a distance away, so I got to do it like when I'm going to visit the Spagnolos or something, because it's closer to them.
We don't have one here, but we hear nothing but great things, and we all wish for them to come here. We would like them to come here. All right. And Five Guys Shake is 700 calories if you get the big one. I got the little one. So that was like 340 or something. Anyway, that's all well and good. But instead of talking more about that, hey, why don't we get Dunaway in?
Yes.
And try to give some prizes away to an unsuspecting listener. We do that by playing this. Hold on a second, everybody. Time for us to play a little bit of Babel Royale, we call it. 100 people enter, one leaves. It's Brian Dunaway on the line. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Hi.
Hi, Brian Dunaway.
Hi, it's nice to have you here. How are you?
We missed you this weekend.
Yeah. I know. I actually kind of is good. I mean, they say it all the time, but fondness, it really is necessitated distance.
This is not the phrase. The phrase is not that. The phrase is distance makes the heart grow fonder. That's it.
Distance, I don't want to be cliched, so I'm not going to cliche it. I'm going to reframe it so that it's my own.
You're like my dad. I love it. It's really good. The horse goes before the worm early, is what he'd say.
The horse fly goes up.
Oh, that was really good.
Horses.
Oh, and I did forget to say, yes, we did over $5,000 for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Zero pennies go to us at all. We don't get any of it. And we had a great time. So thanks, everybody who came out and supported that. I know there are plenty of Tadpooligans who were there. If you'd like to participate in today's good times, 801-285-9395 is the number. It's up on the screen. And we already have callers coming in. Let's try this one. Hold on a second. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
How's it going? It's Martin.
Well, hello, Martin. Martin, where are you from?
Bakersfield, California.
Bakersfield. Ah, that's supposed to be all kinds of meth, amphetamine there.
Oh, yeah. That's.
Is that a thing? Or is the stereotype wrong?
No.
Okay. That's stereotype.
I think you're just confusing the words baked and just thinking, Bakersfield. Oh, they're baked.
Well, see, the reason I know this or say this is I have some friends, A, who live near Bakersfield, and they all say this, and then B, the entire city that, what's his name, in Grand Theft Auto 5, his whole set of missions was set in a place that was making fun of Bakersfield, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Exactly. Just north of LA,
right? Just like in his case, it was just north of San Andreas. It's like literally supposed to be Bakersfield.
You guys are basically... Exactly. On that path between Vegas and LA, like if you drive from Los Angeles to Las Vegas, you pass through Bakersfield, if I remember correctly.
Right. Do you see a lot of meth people? You go to like the Walmart and go, oh, there's a guy on meth here.
I mean, that's just Walmart everywhere, right?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Actually, in Salt Lake City, downtown, I saw a guy on meth or a lady on meth while I was there. Mm-hmm.
So remember, call in today so Scott can insult your town.
Right.
That's right. I will find something wrong with your hometown. Trust me, there's plenty wrong with mine. All right. Hey, Martin in Bakersfield, let's play a game. Brian Nibbitt will explain how this works and what you could wear.
That's correct. So, Martin, I'm going to give Scott and Brian Dunaway a topic, and they're going to go back and forth with answers for that topic. If one of them gives a wrong answer or a repeated answer, or they take too long to come up with an answer, the win is going to go to the other player. Your job, Martin, is to predict who is going to come out on top. Based on the topic today, you are playing for the carryover prizes from last week. That means copies of these on Steam, Ancient Planet, No Time to Explain Remastered, and Crime Sharp. We're also adding three new games, Spectrum, Bezier, and Bomb Defense, all courtesy of Matthew Bach.
Jeez, this is a load of Steam games. Wow. This is fantastic.
Six Steam games for the price of none is basically what we're saying.
All right. Well, no pressure. Now, what's our topic?
That's right. Your topic today. So in 1995, Def Leppard released Def Leppard The Vault, which was their greatest hits album, contained 15 songs, one of them a brand new unreleased one called When Love and Hate Collide, but all the rest of them came from previous albums. I want to know how many of these Def Leppard greatest hits you guys can name.
Oh my gosh.
I want to know.
Okay, hold on. Let's go to Martin here. Let's not help the other player.
All
right. So, Martin, who do you think is going to come out on top in this Babel Royale?
I think I'm going to go with Brian on this one.
I think that's a smart choice. Feels like Brian.
Especially knowing that Scott is having trouble remembering names today, seems like you're probably might be barking up the right tree.
My name recalls off. All right. That's all fine right, with me. Well, so who starts?
Martin,
how do we do it?
Martin picked Brian, so Brian gets to go first.
Toronto. No, wait, wait.
Still paying for that one.
Right. Good. Totally. So I got to go with Pour Some Sugar on Me. I mean, that's just, you can't have, right?
That's correct. You can't have a Def Leppard greatest hits album without their greatest hit. Came out on Hysteria in 1987. That is actually track one on their greatest hits album. It's that popular.
Okay.
Oh,
then good. I'm gonna go ahead because you reminded me of one. There is also a track on Hysteria called Hysteria, and I would like to pick that
one. Oh.
There is. That's track 13 on the album.
Mm-hmm. Is that the last track, final track?
No, there are 15 tracks.
Oh, I remember. I listened to Hysteria.
I'm not going
to
require you to remember When Love and Hate Collide,
yeah,
because that was recorded specifically for the Greatest Hits album.
Sure. I listened to Hysteria, the album Hysteria, on repeat for years. Sure. I loved it.
Yeah.
We all did.
Yeah.
Yep.
So good.
Yeah, yeah.
My mom would say, "Are you still listening to Def Leppard?" Like, Mom, yes. It's not Def. It's Def.
The Leopard of Death.
Yeah. That's what she thought. All anyway.
Right. All right. Ryan, I'm going with Love Bites.
Love Bites. Since we're sticking with Hysteria, there you go. That's track number three on the album.
I'm going to go with... Actually, I don't know if this would be on there. It's just one of my favorites. Oh, crap. Hold on. I'll say it anyway. Foolin'.
Of course that's on there. From Pyromania from 1983. That's absolutely. It's track number seven on the album.
All right.
They'd be fooling themselves if they didn't include that on the album.
I wouldn't even guess that one. So good on you,
yeah.
Scott.
Yeah.
But I would guess they would have to put Armageddon It.
Oh, it was my other one that I had in my pocket.
They would absolutely have to put that on there. That's track number 10, also from Hysteria. Very good. Back to Scott.
Oh, okay, this is where I'm starting to, this is where I'm starting to suck.
Starting to peter out.
Photograph.
Photograph, track number two, also came from Pyromania. Very good, Scott.
Oh, my gosh, that hurt.
I think probably their second biggest hit.
This is all the post drummer has only one armed period, that right, that song?
I think that one's from Pyromania. I think that was before.
Oh, was it before? Okay.
Do you reckon he sold his soul to the devil for you know, just, or his arm, possibly?
Maybe. He's like, don't take me now. All right, I'll take your arm, though.
That's right.
I'm taking your arm.
It's going to cost you an arm and a leg, but I'll give it to you for half price.
Wasn't that an episode of Futurama?
He took his hands. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it took his hands. Yeah,
he took it. The robot devil took Fry's hands he traded him for his hands because he could make beautiful music with his hands, and then he ended up with Fry's hands. It's really good. It's a great episode. You should go watch it. Yeah.
And all right, now we just witnessed a Brian Dunaway stall.
So, did I already say Rock of Ages? I can't remember if I did or not.
Well,
I'm not going to tell if you already said that.
Rock of Ages is the other one that's in my head right now. I'm going down the track list in my head, and I think Rock of Ages is in there.
You are absolutely correct. Number 12, track 12 on the album, also from Pyromania. Rock of Ages, keep a rolling.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Which song was the Unterglieben Glauben Globen?
That's the one, Rock of Ages.
Oh, that's Rock of Ages. Okay.
Yep.
I love that German dude.
The good one.
Okay, I'm gonna say I only know one more, and I'm not sure this is right, and it may be a different, it may be even post this. Well, no, because they haven't done really anything since then, right? Or have they made
they've released quite a few albums since the greatest hits, but you'd be hard pressed to name a single one of them. We did it for Soundography, and that's actually what made me think of this Battle Royale.
Adrenalize.
Oh, you got this one. So you pulled up this question, Ibbit. Is that right?
I did. Yeah, this one didn't come from the listener for a change. Yes.
Very
Adrenalize
good.
Is not on the list.
Ah!
That's the name of an album.
It is. Oh, that's why I know it.
If there was a title track, I can't remember if there was a title track, but it was not a greatest hits. So Brian Dunaway does win, and that means our caller, Martin, wins the Babel Royale.
Damn it.
Sweet.
Well done. Adrenalize. Wait, why do I think Adrenalize is a song?
Well, let me tell you what you could have said.
Okay.
Let's Get Rocked, which is from Adrenalize, was a big hit for them.
Okay.
You have one in your pocket? Go for it.
Oh, it. Rocket?
Rocket.
Yeah.
That was track number 8, also on Hysteria. Yeah. And you would have had an extra turn if you needed one. 2 Steps Behind, which was from the Last Action Hero soundtrack.
Oh.
Animal. Rocket. When Love and Hate Collide, I said you don't have to do that one. Have You Ever Needed Someone So Bad? Also from Adrenalize. Miss You in a Heartbeat. And closing out with Bringin' On the Heartbreak, which was another big hit for them from their 1981 album, High and Dry.
Oh, yeah. That junior high business there. Those songs are all ringing a bell. Now that you say them, gosh dang it! But also, well done, Martin. You're the pride of Bakersfield, as far as I'm concerned. Here's all you got to do: you got to send an email to coverville@gmail.com. Brian will forward on those codes to you, or however you get a hold of them. But that's probably
That's exactly the best way to do it.
Yeah. Do that, and we'll get these codes to you. Congratulations, well done, Brian Dunaway. Wow, you've done it again. You've given someone life today. Well done.
I did.
Yes.
Well, at least games. I don't know about life, but you've given the games.
Yeah. Close enough.
Also, what else was I going to say to you? Oh, today, Brian and I will be doing the Boop Show. We do that at 3:30 Mountain Time. That's 5:30 his time. As soon as he gets home from work, man, we roll right into it. I have the coolest game to talk about today. I'm so excited. So come tune in and check that out today. That's later today. At 3:30 Mountain, right here at frogpants.tv. Brian Dunaway is the Brian Dunaway on Twitter. Rocket.
Yeah.
All right. That's the worst Def Leppard you've ever heard.
Yes.
Yeah. Really well done. All right. Hey, let's talk real quick about our buddies over at 1Password. Do you have passwords? Of course you do. We all do. Do you use the same one over and over again? I think some of you do. But unless you're using a password manager like 1Password, you probably are. Passwords are scary. 1Password is an essential part of my workflow every day. Keeps all my passwords safe and secure behind a single master password that only I know. You'd have to pry it out of my dead cold hands. Better yet, it helps me create strong, unique passwords for every website I sign into, meaning that if, I don't know, the place where I order my shoes has a breach, let's say, I don't have to worry about those same attackers getting to my bank with that same password. They recently rolled out an update to Watchtower, which is its amazing new feature. Let you know if one of your passwords or my passwords have been compromised. Oh man, if I'm using the same password on more than one site, or if I have some weak passwords, that should be better. It'll let me know. TMS listeners can get a 3-month free trial at 1Password by visiting 1Password. That's with the number 1, 1Password.com/TMS and sign up today. Check it out. I love it. Let's do this now.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive sensational summary of world and local events.
It's the news brought to you by
Gem Gem Ginger Candy. Scott, why do you love these so much?
All right. This is not a paid endorsement. This is not an advertisement or a sponsor or anything.
Sure.
I just have to say, because they're listeners and they sent me some samples of these things called Gem Gem Ginger Candies, and they have in there lemon flavor, of course, something I die for lemon. They got this orange flavor. They have just straight up, like, hardcore ginger flavor. They have a bunch of flavors. And
all sorts of flavors you can get.
Yeah, and if you like the whole, like, if you're one of those non-GMO, you know, freakazoids, they got you covered there. They're, like, so good. I couldn't stop eating them. And I don't even like ginger. Like, if you give me a big sushi meal and there's ginger as part of it, I don't want it. I hate it. I don't like it. But these ginger candies, amazing. They're at Walmart. You can get them at Amazon. I don't know about everywhere, but they're in a few places that are common to get stuff like this. And I don't know if they're new to the market or what the deal is, but my gosh, I've never been I ripped through them. Here's one. Here's a bag. What was this one? This was... this was mango. Yeah, these were mango.
Yum.
And when I say I mean dude, because
that bag has been drained of all of its contents.
Yep, I really, really liked them. Give me more mango is technically the flavor, jam-packed with positivity. They got this great sort of slogan-y thing going on. And It uses real Indonesian ginger, which I just picture as a redheaded kid from Indonesia, but whatever.
is that the hotbed of ginger Indonesia?
As far as I know. Let's see, gluten-free, kettle-cooked, non-GMO, all that stuff. I loved them, and I just had to say something because... Also, here's the other thing. I'd eat a whole bunch of these, and I didn't feel gross after. That's the other thing.
Yeah. Well, I imagine they're a lot healthier, yeah.
Yeah, more than, you know, just some...
Fewer calories than a small Five Guys shake.
That's right. Gem. Check them out. They're great. And they were super nice. So thank you guys for that. Let us now delve deep into the day's news. The world's biggest orgy. We talked about this a while ago. Let's go from sweet candy to orgies.
makes sense. It's a logical transition.
Sure, why not? This was supposed to be in Vegas. It still is. But they've moved it ahead. Here's the deal. Another day, another new location.
I've got less time to prepare.
A new location and a new time for the world's largest orgy. Potentially, this isn't done yet, so we'll see. But just hours before today's record attempt in Las Vegas, organizers announced that the climactic event of the Sin City 8 Weekender, initially to be held at the Embassy Suites near the Strip, was being bumped to the most recent hotspot or host spot, the Erotic Heritage Museum. Now it is being moved to a undisclosed vacate location in the valley. This thing gets seedier and seedier as they go, dude.
Yeah. It's going to be in the dirt on blankets before too long.
Now, you've been to Vegas many times. Have you ever come across the Erotic Heritage Museum?
Yes, I have. I've never been in there, but that's a common... if you take a taxi anywhere off-strip, like if you go to the Rosemary Restaurant, which is off-strip, or Golden Tiki, really good tiki lounge off-strip... Yeah. Chances are you'll pass by the Erotic Heritage Museum because they've got, I believe that's the place where you can still see puppetry of the penis 5 nights a week.
Wow. Really? That's the thing I can go see.
That's a thing you can go see.
Okay.
Have you not heard of puppetry of the penis?
No. No, I haven't.
I believe it's a guy on stage who is able to reshape his penis into several funny characters like Mickey Mouse and Pink Panther. I don't know. I really don't know.
Do you like dress it up and specifics. Have strings on it and stuff, that sort of thing?
I don't know.
Like marionette style?
That's... Oh, Cinderflame says it's two guys.
That makes it worse. I'm less interested even. It's
a lamb chop.
Well... if you ever get a chance, I guess, stop by the Erotic Heritage Museum, which still wasn't good enough for this event. TheBlast.com reported Sex Club Green Door is the new venue. The event, I have not heard of the Green Door. You heard of that? Oh, you have heard of it.
I've heard of the Green Door, too. It's across the street from, it's in the same shopping plaza as the Lotus of Siam. Again, fantastic restaurant there in Vegas. I think... Mitsula would even back me up on this. Best Thai that you can get in Vegas.
Oh, it's Thai food.
Siam. It's Thai
food. That's just down from the Green Door, eh?
It's in the same shopping area, and I think Mitsula even pointed out, he's like, right there is the Green Door, which is the home of the famous Behind the Green Door movie or series or whatever it was, Cinemax or Showtime or something.
Oh, there's a thing.
I'm thinking of Red Shoe Diaries. I guess it was just a movie, Behind the Green Door, Beyond the Green Door.
I'm such a noob. I don't know about any of these things. Yeah. Well, it says here they're going to start at 4 p.m. and by 6, 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Included 120.
That's not a lot of time.
No, it's not. 1,200 registrants have been registered to do this thing, which would beat the unofficial 2006 record in Tokyo by 700 people. Publicist Christy Alui, who represents Minaj Life. Yeah, that's what this is, Minaj Life.
Minaj Life.
A Denver-based organizer. Take that, Brian.
Oh, no, really?
Hometown, buddy.
Why do we have to have some sort of connection to this thing?
Said the press conference earlier that the Erotic Heritage Museum, that the move to a secret location was due to unforeseen events. And done to protect the security and privacy of our guests. The latter of concern came from registrants after news of the orgy attempt went viral.
I mean, Smelly Bill found out where the event was going to be held, so they had to move it.
Ain't nobody wants Smelly Bill there. I can tell you that. I don't want
to. I'm coming to your orgy event.
Other news, a dancing doctor who made rap videos while he made surgeries, or did surgeries, performed them, is facing nearly 100 complaints from women. Nearly 100 women said they have suffered complications after a U.S. dermatologist arranged to have herself filmed singing and dancing during their surgery, according to an attorney, Dr. Wendell Boot. Posted videos of herself on YouTube dancing and singing along to music mid-operation, occasionally with assistants joining in and dancing. The video sometimes showed the bare skin of the unconscious patients lying on the operating table while Dr. Boot danced around them.
Yeah, that seems like it's a pretty unprofessional thing to do.
It does to me too, right? Like, if you're in there and it's like a four-hour surgery and you're whistling Stairway to Heaven because it's playing over the speakers, that's fine. Sure. But anything...
We've all seen MASH.
Sure.
We've all seen Saint Elsewhere and Grey's Anatomy. We know that there's, you know, singing along and stuff that goes in there when you're trying to kill time while you're doing stuff, but...
My eye doctor did that very thing in my surgeries. He listened to Led Zeppelin while he worked on my eyes. Totally fine. But he didn't get up and make a video of himself like some kind of freaking weirdo.
Yeah.
Just a stone too far, as the old saying goes.
like some sort of lip sync. Remember when all the high schools seemed like for 3 or 4 years, every single high school had some sort of 6-minute video of them lip syncing a Katy Perry song while a camera backed down the hallway through the entire school, and every kid was like singing or popping a balloon or chasing a dog or something like that during these videos.
That was the hot trend for.
I'm kind of glad we're done with those.
Yeah, I think that was enough. I think you're right.
Yeah, it was pretty much one of them got on Ellen, and all of a sudden they all thought they could do it.
Yeah, I'll tell you what happened this morning, which is very odd. In the car with Carter, I get in this mood. I'm like, I got to play Gay Bar by the Electric Six. Because I love that song. I want to take you to a gay bar. Everyone knows the song, right? So I play that. So I'm playing in the car. And I say to Carter, I go, oh, man, I loved this in high school. It was so cool. And in my head, I'm 100% with me saying that. Like, it is all true, me saying, I loved this in high school. Carter looks up the album. It's their debut album that song was on. There's a couple other really great tracks on there. 2003.
Yeah, exactly. That was barely right before podcasting that thing came out.
Why do I have it? I really literally have it. Still now is total disconnect that is an old, ancient song. Much older
than
this.
That's crazy.
I would have put this at like 83. Is where I would have.
Wow, really?
Yeah, and I don't know why I'm so
confusing
convinced.
It with. You're probably confusing it with Right Said Fred or some other like one hit wonder borderline novelty song that came out in the 80s.
I must
have.
Like it's definitely got that Casbah kind of weird combo of like punk and middle or like Eastern European kind of influenced whatever sound to it. Like.
Right.
I'm sure I've conflated a song with it, but I was 100% sure, and Carter's digging it. I'm taking her to the train. She's like, good looking all over the phone. She goes, nope, Dad, this is 2003. I'm like, Nick was 3 years old when this came out. What is wrong with me?
Wow. It was around that time. I was editing videos for that old newspaper sales software company that I was working for, and we were doing a training video where one of our employees... was acting like a client that you would interview. And so you'd ask it, or you would basically pretend like you were asking it questions during this training. He would respond with what his answers were. So we had all this footage of him looking directly at the camera, you know, with his goofy Coke bottle lens glasses and, you know, as I was editing the video, I realized that I could use the slider bar and get a very clean, accurate, you know, like basically getting his mouth moved. And we recorded a video of him singing the opening lines of Gay Bar.
That's great.
Him moving his mouth.
That's great. See?
It's like just moving the slider, like figuring out where that moment of him opening up his mouth and, you know, making those expressions and...
Was it this video?
The new health and fitness section? I'm not sure, but I'll find out if I can use your phone.
It was that company, but it wasn't that video.
Oh, that's too bad.
I wonder if I still have it. I bet I do still have it. I'll have to, if I find it, look for a file in your In your email or in your Dropbox before too long.
I was in a commercial for a computer place. I need to find that too. But it's on VHS and I don't have a thing to convert it. I need to figure that out. I don't even have a VHS player at all. Like, I have there's no, in this house, does not exist a working or even a broken VHS player. I need to find one. Let's see here. Moving on. Sherlock actor. You know him as Bumbernuts Flipper Flatch.
Yeah, yeah. Very familiar with that, with him by that name exactly.
Yeah. Some know him as Build-A-Bear Workshop. No. He's your dude from what does the Doctor Strange as well.
Yeah, he's a strange duck.
He saved Brian Ibbett, a cyclist, from muggers. Oh, I'm sorry. It's just a cyclist, not you. Some muggers tried
to
get this.
I move too fast. I move too fast to have any sort of mugger action getting on me.
No muggers. Actor Benedict Cumberbatch, who played Detective Sherlock Holmes on a TV series called Sherlock. Jeez, thanks, NPR.org. We know who he is. Foiled an attempted robbery by fighting off a gang of muggers in London. The attack occurred near his fictional character's home of Baker Street, funny enough. Cumberbatch and his wife, Sophie Hunter, were riding in an Uber when the 41-year-old actor spotted the attempted mugging on Marylebone Lane, High Street. Sorry, there's no lane. I put lane in there, and there's no lane.
Yeah.
Jumped out of his vehicle. Four muggers were attacking a Deliveroo cyclist. That's a service there called Deliveroo. I guess
so. Right. Like Uber Eats, but Deliveroo.
And attempted to steal his bike. According to the witnesses, Cumberbatch screamed at the attackers and then dragged them off the victim. The Uber driver, Manuel Diaz, age 43, told The Sun, "I was taking Benedict and his wife to a club. Maybe it was a gay bar, Brian. Maybe they were going to a gay bar. I mean,
maybe,
I doubt it.
Maybe.
They have no real reason. Well, there's just nothing wrong with it. It's fine.
Right.
Hold on. I was going to play it again, and now I can't. That's okay. Oh, yeah, here we go. I want to take you to a gay bar," he said to his wife.
That's what he was saying.
It says, "But I didn't know it was him at first. We went down to the street. They saw these guys pushing him around. They turned towards him, and things looked like they were going to get worse, so I joined in." So this guy got in and helped. The guys ended up taking off. The guy's bike did not get stolen. And once again, Benedict Cumberbatch saved the day. Well done, Dr. Strange.
Love hearing about, you know, when celebrities jump in and save people.
I agree. It's nice, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very nice. Here's what's nice. We're going to take a break when we come back.
Oh, it is nice.
Major spoilers. That'll be Steven here with us. And, of course, Trek Nerd after that. We actually have some Trek news today. So that will be after the break. But said break cannot begin until we play a song. Brian, what one you got there to play? Load it up.
Yeah. All right. So we've got a band called Close Encounter. These guys would be Close Encounter of the seventh or eighth kind. I don't know which kind it would be. But they're based out of Seattle. They describe themselves as chill music for aliens, and I can see that. They remind me a little bit of Stone Roses from the UK, if there are people out there familiar with them. Let's see. Psychedelic guitar-heavy riffs, slow-tempo beats, and introspective vocal mood to depict the dawn of a new age. It's Bill Darksoft, Bobby Sidney, Cameron Lambert, trio. Put this together. Their first album was in 2017 called First Light, and then this album came out this year via Look Up Records. Big thanks to Look Up Records for letting us play this. The song, this is the title track. It is called Lost Time. The band is Close Encounter. Are you sleeping tired?
Thank you.
Hey, everybody, let's talk about Molecule. Yeah, that's right. Molecule is the world's first molecular air purifier that reduces symptoms for allergy and asthma sufferers. I have asthma, not asthma, allergies this time of year. I know people who have asthma this time of year. Guess what? We're in good hands with Molecule. They've introduced a breakthrough science that is finally capable of destroying air pollutants at the molecular level. Molecule replaces 50 years of antiquated technology. The HEPA filter technology that had been used to clean your air was developed in the 1940s, and there hasn't really been any big improvement since then. But now, Molecule's PECO technology, that's P-E-C-O, stands for electrochemical oxidation. That's a mouthful, isn't it? That's why you just say PECO. P-E-C-O. It goes beyond the HEPA filter system and captures the allergens and eliminates them. Mold, bacteria, viruses, airborne chemicals, all that stuff. That includes pollutants 1,000 times smaller than what the HEPA filter can catch. Boy, that sounds good to me. Makes a real difference for asthma and allergy sufferers, better cope with their conditions, and significantly reduces their symptoms. One customer has reportedly said that after using Molecule in their home, she was able to breathe through her nose for the first time in 15 years. Oh my goodness. It's easy to use and has a clean and sleek design. From the materials used on the device, like its sleek and solid aluminum shell, to a filter subscription service where filters are regularly arrived to your doorstep when you need them. They got you covered. You can get $75 off your first order. Just go to molecule.com. That's molecule.com. All right. Enter the promo code TMS. Do that today and get $75 off. $75 off. Molecule.com and the promo code TMS. It's that simple. Do it today. Y'all will be happy you did. We are going to now...
Oh! Oh, no.
Hold on. Hold on, everybody.
Lil Bro, dead but still bro.
The Morning Stream. That's my safety word.
All right, we're back. I screwed that up. Yeah, that was a fun thing the other day. Just about broke my phone. Good times.
You've also copied the Trek Nerd show notes into both Major Spoilers and Trek Nerd.
Did I? How did I do that? Yeah. That's no good. Here, let's fix that.
I've got access to.
I have Stevens as well. Where is it? Here, Steven. Quick podcast. Okay, Monday. Yeah, here we go. Okay, we have all we need.
Oh, cool. Good.
All right. Let's. Nothing's working right today. All right. Let's call Steven. Speaking of which,
yeah, right.
And have him join the party, the good times that we're gonna have. With Steven, because that's what we do. We have good times with him.
Uh-huh.
And we play this when he comes in.
Steven.
Oh, Steven Schleicher, all the way from Hayes, Kansas. Hello, Steven.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brian.
Hello, Steven.
Purveyor of all things Major Spoilers. That's who he is. And we always love having him on. Mondays are better because of Steven being here. And Steven, we've got a few things today.
Okay.
Let's get right to them. By the way, another 65% drop for Solo this week. Man.
Wow. That's too bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. I wonder if they're, this
I
could be a...
Disney will double down on their next movie.
I do too. This is what I think is going to happen. This is the same studio what brought us Thor the Dark World.
Right.
And Thor the Dark World is a lot like this in that it's here comes another Marvel movie, but it kind of did poopski at the box office, didn't really catch the world on fire, quickly dropped out of space. And what did Disney do? They didn't go, oh, we better slow down all these Marvel movies. This is a bad sign. We're all going to die. I think what they did instead was went, yeah, maybe we can't just make an okay movie. Maybe it can't just be good. Maybe it needs to be extra good. Maybe we have to really go for it. And it seems like they did that after that. So maybe that's what we get from now on, is like really, really going for it. No more messing around with directors who have problems. Like, get your stuff worked out before you start production and don't have to fire people. Like, really go to town here. I think they can do it. They can pull it out.
Yeah. Definitely.
It'll be fine. Anyway, let's talk about what's going on. Hey, I like Resident Evil video games. At least I like them until I'm too scared to play them. they're fun games. But I looked at this title today and I went, oh, cool. Steven's got something about Resident Evil. No. It's about a show called Resident Alien. So my expectations were all different. I thought, oh, we're going to fight the creatures in Raccoon City and everyone's going to get the disease and zombies here and there and this will be a big competition of Walking Dead. Nope. Resident Alien. No idea what it is. Tell us what it's about. And why is it coming to sci-fi?
Resident Alien has been a comic book series that's been out from Dark Horse Comics, I want to say, for like 4 or 5 years now. It's about an alien who gets stranded here in on Earth, and he has one of these things that he makes people see what he wants them to see. Mm-hmm. So he's looks like a normal human. But in the comic, all you do is you see him as an alien. Everyone just acts and treats him just like a regular human. He's a doctor. And he's on this mission to maybe save humanity, but as the series goes on, he just keeps running into more and more situations where he's like, is humanity even worth saving? And so they're taking that series to sci-fi, and sci-fi has said, hey, we'll give you a full pilot commitment on this. Put it together, let's see what you got, and if it's good enough, we will have this go forward as a regular show. It's a fascinating, weird story from Dark Horse Comics. And it'll be interesting if this gets turned into a series at sci-fi.
Listen to what Alan Moore, famed comic creator, beard grower, and hide inside of a cave and hate everyone.
And crank.
Listen to what he says. He says, quote, a pitch-perfect narrative from two of my favorite creators, Alan Moore. Wow. That's some high praise from a guy who's probably a genius. Peter Hogan and Steve Parkhouse. Resident mm-hmm. Alien. I'm now going to have to check this out. This sounds great.
Yeah, I think they're on their fifth or sixth volume right now.
All right.
Yeah, it's really good.
I would check that out. Check it out, everybody. Dark Horse. When's the last time you read a Dark Horse comic? It's been a while for me. Long time.
Oh, man, you should be checking out Hellboy. Hellboy's back.
I think that's the last thing
I read.
He died,
and then he's back.
Yeah, you can't keep old...
can't keep a good Hellboy down.
Yeah, hold on. This is all true. Anyway, that's a cool article. You can find that over at majorspoilers.com. And also, Comixology launches a creator-owned titles section or initiative. This seems like smart idea to me.
It is on so many different levels. So Comixology for years has just been a digital comics distributor. They work with all of the major publishers and the smaller publishers as well to get digital versions of your favorite comics out and reading them every week. A few years ago, they launched Comixology Submit, which allowed true indie creators, you know, the mom and pop comic book shop guys, to create their own comics and have them submitted and sold through Comixology as a way to market their comics and reach a larger audience. Well, now with Comixology Originals, Comixology is kind of becoming their own publisher, in which they're going to independent creators. Such as the creators of Elephant Men, which was at Image Comics, and a bunch of others, and saying, hey, we want you to create your own comics for us. You have control over your comic creation. You do everything you want. You own the rights to them, etc. Two things. Number one, we get first look if you ever want to take it beyond the comic book form, which is really smart since Comixology is owned by Amazon. Mm-hmm.
Because Amazon, not only it's not just for Prime, but like they make movies and stuff now. So
So this is kind of a big deal. And the other thing is, we will also offer you a print on demand service. So now, instead of going through Diamond and having to deal with Diamond or another publisher to get your comics printed up, you can go to Comixology Originals. And you can find that they're launching with 5 titles. One of them, I forget what the main start one is. Is already available today, and it's called Savage Game. It's a 60-page graphic novel created by NFL player Ryan Khalil, written by Sean Kittleson with art by Crispy Murray. That's available right now that you can get as a digital version, or if you want it as a print copy, you just hit print on demand, and within a few days, it'll be at your door. This really changes a little bit with way comics get distributed. Instead of having to show up to your comic store on Wednesday and order your comics 3 months in advance, you can be like, oh, I kind of just want a print copy of this comic, print on demand, and this one will come to your door in a couple of days. That's so really, cool.
Yeah.
And I think potentially has a way to really disrupt the comics industry.
Yeah, no, this is a super interesting thing they're doing. You know, the guys that founded that, we interviewed them on Current Geek or something forever ago, the Comixology guys, and we did it way back when they were, it was very new. I mean, these guys were just trying to figure it out. There was this Amazon thing hadn't come yet. Like, this was very, very long time ago. when the app first came, and I want to say this is like iPad 1 days, like 2010 maybe. Are they still there? Do you know if they're still have a hand in how things are run at Comixology, or do they take their money and run, or do you know?
I don't know about the creators. Now, I know Chip Mosier, who used to be the PR guy at Boom Studios, went to work with Comixology and became their PR person. He's now the person in charge of the Comixology originals.
Oh.
But I don't know about the overall Comixology. Chip has always been my main contact for anything going on at Comixology. And he's always been super positive about the company, even when they sold to Amazon, because he was telling me, you know, months ahead before the announcement, it's like, you guys don't ever have to worry about your comics, you know, about Comixology shutting down and you losing access to your digital comics.
Mm. Well, that's cool. It sounds like they remain personal even after the acquisition. That's I like that.
Yeah. And here's the other weird thing about this. And here's one thing about digital comics we know nothing about. And that is how many people are buying digital comics versus compared to your traditional comics, your print comics, your trade paperbacks, your floppy, your single issues. And there's an interesting quote in this news from Comixology. The creators of Elephant Men, which has been a long-running series over at Image Comics, creator-owned, they came out and said, we actually sell more digitally than we do via print. And that's why we're going with Comixology Originals for their upcoming series.
Yeah, if you guys have never seen Elephant Men, the comic, it is a trip.
Yeah.
Like, it's basically... what if elephants were upright and had guns and stuff?
What if animals were, you know, truly anthropomorphic and running around? And it all has to do with genetic experiments that happened decades before. And now suddenly these animals have rights. And the main Elephant Man story, if you read that, is a total film noir detective tale that just goes deeper and deeper and deeper into what does it mean to be human.
Yeah.
And it's very, very good.
Yeah, it's extremely good. It may at first go, ooh, what, elephants? I don't know, man. But then stick around, because it's this would make a really interesting, like, I am always interested in when is somebody going to make an all CGI thing that isn't Avatar, that is like a very different kind of storytelling, but really cool CG digital characters, because that benefits the story the most or whatever. This would be it for me. Like, they could make an amazing adaptation of this with the right budget, the right studio, the right whatever.
Yeah, it is so good.
It's a cool book. There's also a rhino in it. Or not a rhino, a hippopotamus. Isn't he the detective?
Yeah, he's the main guy.
Yeah. It's been a while. I need to get in here and read it again. But there's like rhinos and hippos and just, and they're all like, you know, got hats and coats on and stuff. it's super rad.
Sounds cool. Sounds really cool.
Yeah, it's a good comic. Well, all right. I'm very excited about this. Like, straight up, most exciting news I've heard in comics in a while.
I think what'll be really interesting, and I don't know if this is a reaction to what Netflix has done with Mark Miller and the they basically have bought Miller World and everything that Mark Miller does.
Yeah.
So Netflix is essentially a comics publisher. I don't know if this move by Comixology is Amazon saying, well, yeah, we're also a comics publisher, and it's much easier for us to do it than for you to do it.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Well, I'm sure it is. They have to. I mean, that's what they do. They start leveraging these buyouts like this and Twitch and other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really mess with it too much, like branding wise or any of that. Where you start to see it happen is like, oh, some back end things are happening, or some weird cross promotion things are happening, or integration into other Amazon services is happening. Like, I like how Amazon handles this stuff.
Right. Like, one example is Comixology is integrated into your Kindle.
Yeah.
Which is something that you probably would not have thought about until you open up your Kindle and you're like, oh, I can buy comic books through here. And it's through this service called Comixology, which is owned by Amazon. Same way with this print on demand stuff. It's all being done through companies and systems that they have in place at Amazon to get those books printed and out to you. And from what the early report I've heard from one person is saying, yeah, these typically print-on-demand stuff is kind of iffy, but these are really good quality stuff that's coming to your door.
Yeah, it's very cool. Well, this is good stuff. As always, all of it and more over at majorspoilers.com, my home for pop culture comics news. So go check it out. Steven, anything happening on the site people should be aware of?
This week we are taking a look at the Dresden Files, the board game up on Munchkinland. It's a lot of fun. We're into book 3 right now, and if people want to see how this game is played, you can check it out. It'll arrive tomorrow morning on our YouTube channel, Major Spoilers Video. And there's also an electronic version of that game, so if you would rather play online instead of a board game with your friends, You can do that as well. We'll be checking that out all on Munchkinland at majorspoilers.com.
Very nice. Brian, did you know there's a Penny Dreadful comic? I'm seeing a post here from...
No, really?
Yeah, apparently you can keep your Penny Dreadful.
Some of it takes place before the television series. A lot of it takes place after the television series.
And how's how have reviews been on it? Any good?
Fairly positive. I mean, this I think is their third volume of Penny Dreadful stories, so it is good enough for Titan Comics to keep it going. Titan Comics is out of the UK, so that may be another reason why they continue to publish it. It may be more popular over there than here, but a lot of people pick it up.
There you go.
Interesting. I might have to check that, because that I really love the series and wish they could have continued doing that.
Yeah. There you go. One of the best things Showtime had, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened to that, but I always like to see this stuff continue in comic form. All that and more, again, majorspoilers.com, majorspoilers on Twitter. Steven, take it easy. We'll talk to you next time.
Stay hydrated.
Yes. He's probably checking the chat room. There's that bot that's always saying, make sure you drink.
Yeah, the hydration bot or whatever it's called, right?
I don't know who put that in there, but whatever. We're happy, funny guys.
Oh, there it is right there. Penny Dreadful Volume 1. Oh, interesting.
Maybe you'd like it.
Wow, did you know they made at least a Vanessa Ives action figure? Oh, it was probably, there we go, convention exclusive. So,
oh, really?
It's like San Diego Comic Con. Yeah, you could get your very own Ava Green Vanessa Ives action figure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, is that Daryl?
Well, who's that voice?
I don't know. It sounded familiar at first, but now we knew it's this.
Hello, and welcome to Star Trek Adventure.
It's kind of fruity, isn't it? Can you smoke at the shit.
There he is. Hey, Daryl.
What the heck was that?
I don't know. Something you said some time ago. I don't remember. I have so many good clips of you.
Do Google and...
That one's great.
It's kind of fruity, isn't
it? Listen to these.
Yes, yes, yes.
Poop.
Yeah, see?
Choke-o-matic. Choker.
Daryl Skeels, of course, our Trek expert and nerd who comes on the show and talks about goings-on in the world of Star Trek as we get closer to some new movies coming out and a second season of Discovery. There's much more happening in the world of Star Trek. Like, for example, Ralph McQuarrie's study model is up for auction. Now, if you don't know who that guy is, then you don't know your Star Wars, first of all. But you also don't know the fact that he had something to do with Star Trek. Daryl, why don't you explain why that's a big deal?
Yeah, well, there was a TV series that was going to happen in the 70s called Planet of the Titans, and that got canceled, but not before a bunch of work was done on it, and Ralph McQuarrie designed an Enterprise and created a model for it, and that model was never... Well, it was used in a TNG episode, just as a random ship in the background. And then now it's up for sale at auction, and the starting bid is $40,000.
Oh, wow. My gosh, really? So here it is, chat. You can see it. I'm showing it on the screen. It's an interesting style, very 70s, right?
It is, yeah.
They used
The saucer section looks like how I cut my pizza.
Yeah, exactly. I try to make it in like nice, what is that, like 8 slices if you can? Something like that?
6 slices. Oh, yeah, 8 slices.
8 slices total, yeah. There's a shot of it. They show a screen grab here that it was in the episode Unification 1, or Part 1, from TNG. And it's out there floating around in the abyss, which is kind of cool. But Ralph McQuarrie, if you guys are like, wait, I know that name. How do I know that name? He's famous mostly for his Star Wars concept art.
Production concept art, yeah.
Which amazing concept amazing stuff. Art. Oh my gosh. I want somebody sometime at Disney needs to push a version of Star Wars that is based entirely just on his concept art.
Oh, that would be cool. Like a an animated series.
Yes.
With using designs based on his art. Holy cow. I would fund that in a heartbeat.
I would eat that up. I mean, look at this Luke Skywalker with like the tubes on his face and the backpack, and that Vader is so weird looking. These, I mean, the walkers are pretty much what they ended up doing, but his art is so, that guy can make everything I want to do, Ralph McQuarrie drew at some point. He's really amazing. So anyway,
it very much influenced the look of the Discovery.
Yeah, he is. Oh, really? I didn't know that. That's interesting. Oh,
really?
Yeah.
His original R2 and C-3PO is the weirdest thing, man.
Very Metropolis style C-3PO, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, totally. I don't think that's McQuarrie. What's this? No, that one's not. Yeah, there's the some of these
where,
in here.
The one where Chewbacca looks like a dog with a beard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's the one. Yeah, there he is.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's really good, and you guys should go look all that stuff up. But point being, if you want to get your Star Trek on, I guess you can go. Anybody can bid on this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Has it already got some bids?
Yeah, you just have to beat the first $40,000 bid. That's all.
That's no big deal. So it's currently at 40. Let's see. Number of bids, 0. Oh, they're starting at 40. I see. Closes. Oh, it's already closed. Closed on May 31st, 2018. So somebody owns it. Yeah, somebody owns this thing.
Did it sell? Did it reach 40,000?
Well, it says current bidding, minimum bid 40. Final prices, number of bids, 0. Oh, maybe nobody bid on it.
Oh, nobody. Yeah, it was too high.
Well, that's a lot of money.
Buy it now price, $24.99.
What do you know about the plot of Planet of the Titans, Star Trek Planet of the Titans? What was supposed to be the get just there? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know much about it at all.
I would love to know more about what that was. Like, you know, what's the Planet of the Titans? Like, what is that? Like, I want to... It's usually not... You don't ever have a Star Trek series that has a planet in its name. You know what I mean? Like, what is... Mm-hmm. What else is there? It's always Discovery and
I don't know. Maybe it was gods related or something.
Oh, well, that probably would have been dumb then. No wonder it got canceled.
They pretty much said, let's make this. Oh, whoops, no, let's not.
Todd McFarlane, who I interviewed once. He's fascinating. Just tripping over his name as I drop it there. His Discovery Phaser pre-orders have been canceled by retailers. Why? What happened?
I guess they just decided, we don't want this anymore. And nothing says why. And it looked like a great, great toy. It rivals the Anovos $500 thing. In fact, I'd rather have that because it has lights and sound.
Yeah, that's true. So where can I get these now?
It was going to be $35 and... Well, now it's up in the air. We don't know if they're even going to make them now.
Oh, that would be a bummer if they didn't make them, because I really like it. Yeah. And their TNG and TOS figures are awesome.
Oh. Yeah, they don't do anything, but that's not the highest quality.
Yeah, these guys kill. And they don't. And it's what's nice is it's not... It's super high quality, but it's not super high cost like a lot of replicas.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Which is nice. Mm-hmm. Maybe Discovery just isn't... I've always said, like, the fact that it's on an app and it's not, like, this culturally accessible thing in the way that it used to be, maybe that's enough to, you know, have retailers go, I don't know if he's going to sell or whatever.
Yeah, but I think that's what it was.
I'd buy these, put them on Amazon. I'd pay $35 for that.
Oh, yeah, I'd pay twice, two or three times that.
Sure. Well, don't say that too loud, because then they'll charge it. Todd McFarlane in the news also because he cast Spawn. Brian, did you hear who he cast Spawn as? Did you hear?
Oh, was it Jamie Foxx?
Jamie Foxx of all people.
That's right. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Is crazy. I hear he's a gold digger.
He
ain't messing with no broke
radio edit.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, anyway, too bad. So sad. Don't, I guess, you know what? Let's just check Amazon real quick. And see what it gives us. Because maybe they're up there. And wouldn't that be cool if they were?
That would be cool.
Let's see. Discovery Phasers. Is it Phasors? Phasers.
Phasers with me.
Phasers.
Unless you're saying, let's test the ship. I can't even say it. Let's test the ship's phasers.
Oh, they have one, but it doesn't say from... Oh, it's got a single one-star review. Let's not look at that. yeah, looks like they're not the official ones anyway, aren't there? So, bummer, dude.
That's a bummer.
All right. Yeah. Well, Daryl bringing us the bummer news.
It's good for prop makers who want to make that instead.
Yeah, that's true. Like you could make one.
That's all I'm gonna say about that.
Oh,
oh,
is somebody we know gonna make a thing? That's pretty cool.
Well, have you gotten one?
They probably have.
Hmm. What were you saying, Brian?
I think I know somebody that has one.
Yeah. Yeah, but what were you going to say? Oh, where'd you get that? Where'd you get that?
I got it from our guest that we're talking to right now. Yes.
I didn't get one of these. That's beautiful.
You have a TOS one.
I do. Oh, yeah, I do. I have the TOS one. Where is it? Brian, that looks awesome.
You don't keep this thing under your desk in case someone walks into your office unannounced and demands something from you that you don't want to give?
No, I just have Daryl say zert.
That's good.
I have a button. I push it. Goes
zert,
and they run away. Ah!
Yeah, no, this is cool. I was waiting until Scott got his to ask you how is this resin like from a mold?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there is no second one. You have that one.
Yeah, you have the original, Brian. There is no number two going out. I'm not getting one.
Yeah, there's no.
Well, no, I meant like. No, I meant the TOS one that Scott got.
Oh. Yeah, I got that a long time ago.
You got that a long time ago.
I got that years ago.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
In fact, that may have been before, or that may have been ELR days.
Maybe I shouldn't have brought it up.
No, it's all good. Look, I'll rock it old school. I have no problem with it. Does your little midsection pop out like mine does?
Boop.
Damn it. All right. I may have to commission you to make one. Super cool.
Jamie, I want to isolate that too, by the way.
Yeah.
My midsection does pop out.
All right. Well, that's all well and good. Final note. The crowd-funded movie Fifth Passenger trailer is out. It's got Doug Jones from Discovery in it, Tim Russ from Voyager, Marina Sirtis from TNG, and Emran Shimerman from DS9 in this thing. How did it do money-wise? Did it make a bunch of money on the Kickstarter?
Oh, it's not out yet.
No, I mean the
trailer is out.
I just mean the crowdfunding bit. Did they make pretty good cash on that or what?
Oh, they must have because they're making it. So, and it's going to come out. So they must have done well.
Let's see. I'm looking at ooh, that's a cool poster. Do we know what this is about? I guess the trailer says.
Yeah, it does.
Let's see.
It looks pretty interesting.
I'm gonna just push this button and look at it for a second. Let's see what we got here. Epic Pictures.
Are they survivors?
We need to know what happened to the crew.
If we can't get power from the core, we'll all be dead within 24 hours.
She looks all right. I'll watch that. Sure. Let's get that going.
Yep.
Not a problem. When will that happen? When do we get that? Is it a theater thing? Is it a direct-to-video deal?
Sounds like a theater thing.
All right. Yeah. I'm in. Count me in.
There we go. Yeah, released May 30th. So yeah, check your local listings is probably what we should be saying.
Yes, do that. Check your local listings, everybody. And check your local Trek nerd at The Trek Nerd on Twitter. He's got things to say about all kinds of stuff. In fact, you might hear him say such words as... Hold on. He might say such words as... Or...
Oh, shit. Another stupid ass episode.
Yeah, or...
Words every day.
Or...
I have no idea.
Yeah.
How can you screw up a hamburger? And I know all this stuff because of a 5-year-old girl.
I have so many.
I don't like hearing myself. Shut up, me.
So many things. And at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. Daryl, the pleasure has been ours.
God.
Bye. See ya.
See you, Daryl.
All right. That was all well and good.
Wow.
Quick email at the end of the show from Bryce LaChance, which is French for the chance.
Mm-hmm.
He says, hey, Scott and Brian, I've been listening to recent TMS episodes and keeping score of your adventures with the Oculus Go. I'm happy to say that I've also purchased one since then, and I am loving it. I want to let you both know there is a Plex app for the Oculus Go, and it's amazing. I agree. It's pretty good, although I'm getting some choppy, I don't know, my quality of video is weird. And I think it's something
really? On everything or just on
Plex, but I think it's something to do with my router or something. I got to figure it out. Something's getting downgraded there. But anyway, just downloaded the app and you can select whatever server you want from the dropdown. Most content will be projected on a 2D screen in a VR room, but there are lots of movies that were shot in 3D, which will work perfectly with the Oculus Go and you can, and they'll jump out at you. And that's true, by the way, you can watch 3D movies with the Oculus Go and you get 3D effect. It's kind of crazy, actually.
Cool.
The other awesome thing is you can be multiple people in the same room in VR and simultaneously watch the same movie, like for FilmSack. Oh,
that's cool. The voice chat is coming soon on that thing, too.
Yeah, that'd be great.
As I read.
Very excited about that. I also just heard the Plex is now supporting podcasts, which is great. Your friend in Canada, Bryce LaChance.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder if there's a Twitch app for the Oculus and people could watch us.
Not yet.
I guess they could do it from just regular the browser.
The only way you can do it right now is you can broadcast to Facebook. But you cannot.
Oh, really? Okay, so you can't even do, like, just go to the browser, pull up twitch.tv/frogpants and watch?
No, but you will eventually. They say that's coming. So, soon, I hope. Sooner than later would be great, but yes, it is coming.
And then we'll reach out at you. Oh,
brr. A reminder that the mugs are out for our 1500th episode, which is tomorrow. Help us celebrate by grabbing one of these. They'll be limited edition and hard to get afterwards, so I recommend grabbing it. It's over at frogpants.com/store. It's the very first thing listed, I believe, unless Dave has added to something. Nope, he has not. I'll show you right here, folks. The 1500th episode of the show happening tomorrow, and to celebrate it, TMS 1500 limited edition mug. Celebrate these many episodes coming up on June 5th by sipping from your favorite beverage in this limited edition 14-ounce ceramic mug. The outer finish of the mug is a matte black with a metallic silver logo, while the inside is a high gloss white. This is a limited edition mug being pulled from the store on June 19th. Though they will not be there anymore. So go get it now if you want it, dear listeners.
Very cool.
Yeah. It's going to be good. Frogpants.com/store. Go check it out. All right. I think that's all of it. Is that all of it?
It seems like all of it. Yeah. I don't have any more of it.
I don't have any more of it either. I'm all out of it. If you want to vote for today's show title, go to frogpants.showbot.tv, their chat room. And for the rest of y'all, if you want to support the show, patreon.com/TMS, frogpants.com/TMS for everything else you might need. Therein, you'll find ways to contact us, our Twitter accounts, our Reddit page, all of it. At frogpants.com/TMS. All right, that's it. Oh, new TMS. Sorry, big mashup tomorrow. I don't have it ready today, but we're playing it tomorrow. So TMS mashups, if you're listening to this, you're like, wait, you didn't play the thing. We're playing it tomorrow. So get ready for that. All right, Brian.
Can't wait.
Let's leave, but you have to play a thing.
I will play a thing. This one is going out to Melissa Huber, who wrote in and said, June 4th marks 13 years married. Lots of ups and downs. And 4 kids later, he's still my best friend. My husband doesn't listen to TMS unless he's stuck in the car with me while I'm listening to it, and I haven't missed an episode. So this request is more for me. When I Say I Do was our wedding song. I'm sure Brian can find a cool cover of it. You've been killing it lately with your song picks, and I've discovered lots of new bands thanks to you. Scott, I love your laugh. Don't ever stop. Thank you, guys, and namaste.
Oh.
So the song When I Say I Do was originally by Clint Black and Lisa Hartman Black. You probably know I don't play a lot of country on here, and
it's not really a cover thing of this song. Not so much
thing. not really my bag, but and I looked around to see if I could find a good kind of rocking cover of it. It's a lot of stuff that just is very samey sounding to the original. So Melissa, I hope you'll forgive me if I go if I wander out of the hymn book, sing off book or something like that.
How's that go? You go off. What's off the phrase? Off, not off book. You go off script.
Off script. I hope you don't mind if I go off script. So I did some quick math. And if you guys got married 13 years ago, that would have put us in about 2005 by my calculations. I picked a song from 2005, actually a song that was covered in 2005. The original is a lot older. This hopefully represents, you know, the relationship and all that stuff, and also is a pretty damn cool song. And I hope you and your husband like it if you force him to listen to this episode. The song is by Blake Morgan. He recorded it for his album Burning Daylight in 2005. It's a cover of a song by Paul McCartney called Maybe I'm Amazed.
Oh, I always thought it was Baby I'm Amazed.
Nope, it's Maybe I'm Amazed.
How am I this old and I didn't know that until right now? That's so annoying to me. All right, whatever. It's a great
good thing I didn't have you guys do the Paul McCartney Greatest Hits album today on Babel Royale.
I would have said Baby I'm Amazed. I would have said it.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, anyway, here it is. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Come on back. Oh, come on back.
And This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.